Welcome to Kaput Radio. I'm Martin. This program is devoted to some observations from the lighter side of life, because life is too short for endless complaints about nasty realities, and it is far too long for perpetual short attention span distractions such as Wi-Fi kills, watching whales being discriminating unless you also watch England and Scotland, and UFOs landing in your backyard to make YouTube movies with your cat. So let's get started with the show. Here is our first story, written by Steve Sorensen and read by Tanya.
Coffee and lies. I don't get it. I'm told it's good when the Aussie dollar drops in value. I'm told it's good when houses become more expensive. This is presented as gospel by politicians, financial institutions and other smirkers, and accepted by voters. I look up from the newspaper and sip my latte. Yeah, the coffee's gotten better here. Years ago, the latte would come in those long glasses with a little handle. Uh-oh. Call me old school, but that doesn't seem right. I want the currency to be strong. A strong currency is what strong countries have. That makes sense. Unless you're a multinational company, then of course you want everywhere to be a third world country. Exploitation is easier if the population lies on its back, legs in the air, tiny currency exposed. I want my son and his family to be able to afford a home. Rising house prices are good for scammers, overseas investors and politicians living high on the dole, but not so good for young people trying to tie together what's left of the Australian dream. My shack is not quite visible from the store veranda. Trees on the ridge obscure the view of my valley, except for a line of orange cliffs. I'm told a lot of stuff. I'm told the terrorists are coming. Oh dear, forget the dying reef, climate change and destruction of Australian farmland and forest. The death cult is coming. Pure evil, spawned out of countries we have generously helped so much, is threatening our very way of life. These murdering bastards are practically at our door, give or take a few tens of thousands of kilometres. Luckily, I have my samurai sword. At sunset, dressed in war sarong and bikey jacket, I stroll the deck of my shack under the cliffs, scanning the property for Muslim malevolence. Yesterday, while Wagner's Ride of the Valkyries boomed across the valley, I spied a wallaby and its joey. I drew my sword from its sheath and then recognised the duo as Aussies, assumed they had not been radicalised, and gave them the thumbs up. Border security is important, you know. I turn a few pages to the world news. The Greeks have said no more. Most of the nonsense I'm told comes from the Australian government. I'm told that turning back the boats is the right thing to do. Unlike those awful terrorists, we have a moral code. Jesus said it. I was thirsty and you turned me away. I was hungry and you turned me away. I needed shelter and you turned me away. Blessed are the policymakers. Is there anything sadder than this lack of humanity by the Australian government? Yes, there is. The fact that most Australians support this policy. So I give up. If the value of the dollar, jihad in the Middle East, rugby league and marriage equality are more important than the changing climate, I give up on Australian politics. The coffee is finished, very nice. Now it comes in a regular latte glass. The sun playing tag with the tree shadow is warming me. I love this land. It's a shame that the government is dysfunctional. Unable to lead, the government just tells me absurd stuff as distraction from the big issues it hasn't the balls to confront. Cowardice creates inhumanity. Children in detention now, starvation in the future. So I give up, even hoping that change will come from the top. I'll leave democracy to the Greeks. So, what now for me? I flip to the back page. Did you know that New South Wales are favourites in this week's State of Origin?
now we have the most unpopular stories of the month taken from theshovel.com.au and read to you by Tanya and me.
Labor delegates will meet in Melbourne this weekend with the party divided on the best ways to alienate their supporter base.
We'll be debating a whole range of different ways to miscalculate public opinion.
A party spokesman said, adding he was confident the strongest ideas would win out. With the election likely to be just over a year away, the spokesperson said there was a renewed enthusiasm for irrelevance.
What Australians want is a strong, clear alternative, which is nice, isn't it?
He said. Prime Minister Tony Abbott and opposition leader Bill Shorten announced today that they will work together to deliver sweeping tweaks to the rules governing political expenses. In a rare show of bipartisan cooperation, the two leaders said the time to slightly overhaul the current system is overdue. Mr. Abbott, who timed the announcement in Melbourne to coincide with a Liberal fundraiser tomorrow morning, said Australians were sick of their taxpayers' dollars being abused.
We need a new system that looks very different to the current system. It's got to look quite different,
he said. Mr. Shorten, who joined the announcement from a video feed from Sydney where he will be visiting friends this weekend, agreed.
We can't have a system where it appears that there is one rule for the public and a different set of rules for politicians. It has to appear like everyone is treated the same.
The changes will be announced next month before being implemented in 2040. Tony Abbott says his party is serious about the advancement of women and has set an ambitious target to have half of all seats shown on TV filled by women within 5 years.
We are deeply committed to giving the impression that a high proportion of Liberal MPs are women,
Mr. Abbott said.
These are plum seats, not just any old seats. They're right behind where the men and Julie Bishop stand when they are giving a speech, so it's not just a token gesture.
He said women had an important role to play in the party.
The party's women are crucial for the federal budget, for example. They are on screen for the entire length of the budget speech, which is beamed to millions of Australians. They feature on the front page of the nation's newspapers.
A Liberal Party spokesman said there was still work to be done to meet the target. At the moment, women make up 20% of Liberal MPs and around 45% of those on camera, so we're not quite there yet. Facing the prospect of financial ruin thanks to an out-of-control debt and deficit disaster, Greek Prime Minister Alex Tsipras today rang Australian Treasurer Joe Hockey for guidance on making budget emergencies vanish.
Australia was on the absolute brink just a few years ago, but they seem to be tracking quite well now. So I just wanted to get an understanding of some of the techniques they use to avert disasters,
Tsipras said. Tsipras described the phone call as confusing.
He, Mr. Hockey, asked me to imagine a fire burning out of control and then a fire brigade coming to get things under control. I'm not exactly sure what he meant. Maybe he's offering to donate water to Greece. Maybe it's a cultural thing.
Mr. Hockey was unavailable for comment. Billionaire and US presidential candidate Donald Trump says marriage should be between a man and a woman, and then another woman, and then one more woman. He said recent laws in the US legalizing same-sex marriage went against God's word. God stated very clearly that marriage is a sacred bond between a man and a woman that can be only broken through protracted legal negotiations. He said he believed wholeheartedly in traditional marriage.
Traditionally, I get married about once a decade.
Trump's advice to young men considering marriage?
Choose wisely. You will be together for the rest of your next 8 years.
Australian Prime Minister Tony Abbott has made a partial back down from yesterday's solar investment announcement, saying today that he would be supportive of using the sun's energy as long as it involved mining it.
It's a big untapped resource just sitting there,
Mr. Abbott said.
If we mined it sustainably, reserves could last for 80 to 100 years.
Energy analyst Tom Skilton said it was an offer the solar industry could consider seriously if it wanted to remain viable.
The mistake the solar industry has made in the past is to focus somewhat obsessively, some would say, on the renewable nature of its product. But as soon as you consider it as a finite resource, it becomes a lot more attractive for government investment,
he said. Environment Minister Greg Hunt has also backed the idea, saying residents would hardly notice the hole created in the sun.
This new mine will be subject to the most stringent conditions to ensure that access to light and warmth is only minimally affected,
he said. Mining operations could begin within 2 years, with full-scale production ready within a decade.
Actually, I'm not very proud of this, since politics in Australia is like screaming in space. It looks ridiculous and has no audible effect whatsoever. But here is another story from Steve Sorensen, kindly read by Tanya.
Planet of the apps. Sometimes I get so angry. I could kick something, but the nearest thing is a toddler with a smile that exposes two teeth and an innocent love of a world that has as yet not smashed happiness out of her. This will come. My world is shattered. Why me? I ask no one in particular, but a nearby bloke with a dozen strands of long grey hair embedded like defiant protesters around a perimeter of a nearly deforested skull. He opens his mouth to answer. I shake my head, shutting down any response. Geez, doesn't anyone do rhetorical anymore? I drag my eyes from the main challenged bloke and from the happily ignorant kid and drop them onto my iPad. I press update again. If I was a Christian, I'd say a prayer now. But as a Christian survivor with residual weird habits, I silently entreat the great app maker, raise my eyes to the cloud, and threaten the universal web for a miracle. The cloud is bunching and darkening. Despite blue sky to the north, it may rain. The possibility hasn't dampened the spirit here at the cafe. People are happily chatting, drinking coffee, playing with their children as if everything is okay. La-di-da. Wish I could be like that. Unfortunately, my happiness is in the cyber clutches of an app. It has betrayed me. I hate you, Audible. A nearby woman with blonde dreads looks at me, grabs an African free trade basket and moves away. Audible is my favourite app, or was. I have developed a love of listening to lectures about things. At evenings, I like to lie in bed with my iPad, listening to some professor rave on about the pre-Socratic philosophers or about the origin of the universe. I drift off to sleep with my head filled with this sort of stuff. I don't need to understand it or even be awake. I just love to shower in the words like a nymph showers under a forest waterfall. So now I'm an Audible app addict. I can't sleep without it. A woman with a plate of salad walks amongst the tables. 23! Over the past few years, I've brought many hours of lectures, amassing quite a listening library on my iPad. I have created an oral sleeping tablet. Last week, I was learning so much about pre-Spanish Mesoamerica, just when Mayan culture was about to collapse from... The app died from a toxic update. I'm so angry and tired. That update has damned my wordy water course and dumped 1,000 plastic sentences into the virtual ocean like so much digital rubbish. Now, a newly arrived update, which promises to fix everything, is flashing loading. A man picks up a guitar from a stand on the alfresco stage. As the first chord is strummed, a light rain thrums the tarp. I look away from the heavens, where I know there's no God and doubt there is even a cloud, and turn my eyes to my table. There, next to the latte and a ticket with 23 on it, is my iPad. I dare a glance. The wheel of weight has stopped. There's a message. Please, 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 I plead. The bloke with the culled coif opens his mouth. The woman with the salad looks over her shoulder for a second and then continues back to the kitchen. After a sleepless week, I need to know just one thing. What happened to Mayan civilization? As farmland dried up, warfare got endless and the rich got smug, a great anger was building in the people. The anger lurks like a buried desert frog waiting for a trigger. Dear cloud, please. The message says, error, update failed.
Thank you for your kind interest. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Kaput Radio. I have to thank Tanya for her contribution in making these stories audible, and that's what I call a successful audible update. Steve Sorensen writes regularly in the echo.net/here-and-now. Repeat, echo.net/here-and-now. And the most unpopular stories of the month are published at theshovel.com.au. The music you heard was by the Cruise Brothers, a recent live recording here in Nimbin. I wish you all the best thoughts and energies till next time with more Kaput Radio. And thanks to NIMFM, Nimbin's community radio, kindly airing this program. For more shows, Google Kaput X Radio, Kaput with two T's, you will be surprised. Thank you.